The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's The Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank with you. This next topic we're about to tackle is quite an interesting one, and maybe it's something you might want to test against your friends of different nationalities.
Yeah, it's certainly one to talk about. The ongoing US-China trade war and the murky economic outlook appear to be keeping Asia's rich awake at night, at least more so than their peers in the West, which is why you might like to discuss this with people of different nationalities.
Yeah, more than half of Asia's high net worth individuals, or HNWIs, that's about 56%, right? They view the global economic uncertainty as one of their leading concerns, as compared with 41% of their Western counterparts.
So we find this out through a new Wealth Rising survey that's been done by the Royal Bank of Canada, or RBC. Wealth Management also found that 39% of Asian respondents flagged cross-border trade or tariffs as a key concern, whereas only 27% of Western high net worth individuals concur.
The big question really is, why are those in Asia more concerned about economic uncertainties as compared to their Western counterparts? Well, in the studio this morning is Michael Reed, head of Wealth Management Southeast Asia and chief executive of RBC Singapore, to hopefully help us answer that question. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off by talking about this new Wealth Rising survey. Could you tell us a little bit more about it, how it was done, why specifically in Asia as well?
Sure. So we surveyed over 2,000 people around the world, covering markets US, Canada, the UK, but also in Asia. We had about 20 plus of our survey respondents were in Hong Kong, China, Taiwan, and Singapore.
Forgive me. Sorry. So I was going to say, so then, you know, when did it emerge that there was this difference between the Asian high net worth individuals and the others?
Well, I think this is the second year that we've done this survey with the Economist Intelligence Unit. So that's a unit of the Economist magazine. And we've been tracking the disparities, because what we're finding is in Asia, there's a lot of new wealth that's being created, versus in the Western world, it could be intergenerational wealth, and there's potentially more stability
right
in that.
As they say, old money in that sense.
Yes.
Right. We have been talking about high net worth individuals. We mentioned that a couple of times at the start of this conversation. Is there a way to quantify a high net worth individuals as opposed to generically saying?
That's a great question. We looked at two different types of people. One, a high net worth, and we defined that in the survey as 1 million plus in investable assets.
Okay.
But we also looked at the adult children of those high net worth, who are high earners but not necessarily have the wealth yet.
And you're looking at them because they are in line to so-called inherit that wealth.
What we're finding in this survey, and what we find very interesting, is that the feelings that the next generation have are very different than their parents. So over 70% of them, or approximately 70% in Asia, actually felt that they think differently than their parents. So we need to, you know, pay attention to this.
Oh, absolutely. That would be something to track. Something else that we've been tracking in terms of the news has been, of course, trade and tariff issues. And we keep talking about this sort of global economic malaise. Do you think this is going to end anytime soon?
I'd hate to opine on when things are going to end. I actually think that it's going to, whether it's the Saudi oil situation or Brexit, there's always going to be different economic events that will occur. Mm. The key is, how do you deal with it? And in Asia, you mentioned earlier, about 60% of people responded to saying that they are worried. This is their prime concern that they have, is global economic uncertainty, versus 40% in the West. Now, there's a theory that we have as to why this is. There's a trend that's happening in Asia, which is internationalization.
Okay.
So families, we call them Asia's global families, are sending their kids to school outside of Asia. They're expanding their businesses. They're buying real estate. So they are far more attuned to what's going on out in the world. At RBC, we actually specialize in this area, Asia's global families. We define it as connected to Canada, US, UK. But those links and the complexity that comes with that are a very interesting angle, and something that I think people need to think about.
We're speaking with Michael Reed, head of Wealth Management Southeast Asia and chief executive of RBC Singapore. So we've talked about the factors that have led to uncertainties and caution. But Michael, how are these high net worth individuals in Asia? What are their priorities for, say, the next 5 years? Is there any mention of this?
Absolutely. What they told us was wealth preservation was number one.
Okay.
Which is interesting because we would have thought it would be wealth creation, as has happened over the past number of years.
Traditional mindset in that sense.
Exactly. Now, having said that, wealth creation is number two. So wealth preservation, wealth creation, and then maintaining their standard of living was number three. And that's a concern that they have and a goal that they want to address.
Something that you witness in history is you've seen huge wealth creation whenever there's been a big development in technology. And we talk always about the fourth industrial revolution.
Sure.
As you look forward and you look at the next generation, where is that wealth creation? Where is this going to go in the future?
It's a very interesting question, and one of the things that we found, earlier I spoke about how they think differently than their parents. One trend that we found, over 70% feel that ESG, or economic social governance, that's going to be an important trend for where they invest, the impact investing side. Now, one of the things that people mistake this with, and that stat is very different than what we find in the West. It's much lower in the West. In the West, in the past, they've had different trends like SRI, so socially responsible investing, which is basically a filter you put, you know, take out the companies that do no good. This is more about how do you find great sustainable companies that can actually add value, whether it's in the community, whether it's protecting the environment, or being governed extremely well. So what we're finding is that in the past, people said, well, I will sacrifice return in order to have an impact with my money. Now, it's more about how do I find those great sustainable companies that can actually add return, because these are the companies that you want to own.
Right.
That's a very different shift in the past where people and their parents were probably thinking more about how do I just make returns.
How much of a factor does this whole, and we keep talking about this in different companies, this whole millennial generation and their mindset, and you know, they may be high net worth individuals, but the mindset is more or less the same, where they need to feel a sense of belonging to whatever cause they're in.
Absolutely. There's a great situation, specifically a client whose parents were very invested in real estate. Well, now that money is being passed to the next generation, and the son wants to get involved in creating a company that does things that are more in the sustainable and environmental. So I think what they're doing is they're putting their money where their mouth is, and they're actually getting involved and starting these different type of companies that are, you know, it's a deviant, it's taking away from what their parents were involved in the past.
You know, it's an interesting trend that I picked up working with the Milken Institute this week. I spoke to the younger the person I spoke to, the more they talked about sustainability, and the older people were all about, what should I do with my lifelong wealth right now?
Well, what we're finding is that the wealth creators, so the parents who built those businesses, they're slowly starting to pass the money on to the next generation. And so this is why maybe we're seeing the interest, but we're not always seeing the effect yet. But it's coming. Now, the next generation are going to become what we're calling the stewards of wealth.
Okay.
Right. So that's to preserve the family legacy. That's to, you know, maintain the values that the family had versus just receiving the value of the funds that their parents are giving them.
Michael, we spoke earlier about how the younger high net worth individuals are considering things like environment, social governance, these sort of things, these sort of causes. Specifically, you know, zooming into Singapore, how does this trend look?
So in Singapore, it's slightly lower than the average in Asia. About 52% of high net worth individuals think or agree that they will be investing or are interested in ESG type solutions.
Okay. 33% of Singapore high net worth individuals classify themselves as active investors versus 29% in the West. That's quite an interesting stat as well.
Yes, it is. What explains that? Why the differential? And can you classify active?
I think active just means, and it can be interpreted many ways, but we believe it means that they just want to be more involved. Right? And we spoke about global economic uncertainty. They want to have an active role and make decisions when it comes to their portfolio. I think that the missing point here is if you reverse the numbers and you see how many people are actually hiring proper professionals in order to manage their money. So if 33% are active, that means that, you know, 67% are actually passive and they want someone to take care of their money. We are seeing this as an increasing trend. Would you like, in this cycle that we're in, to have someone else who's day-to-day professionally manage your money? This is something that we think people are more and more attuned to.
Can we talk about volume for a second? Earlier this week, we were talking about Bill Gates And I asked the question, who manages his personal fortune? Because it's obviously huge, this personal fortune. In terms of the volume that's being invested by high net worth individuals, were there any interesting statistics that came out of the survey related to that?
We didn't find anything specifically around the volume, but we all do know that the amount of wealth that's being created and the amount of wealth that's entering the markets and coming out of potentially private markets is increasing and is going to be increasing over the future, especially with the demographic trends that we're seeing.
Yeah, and I suppose that, you know, these trends might change depending on the geopolitical situation, depending on these, you know, trade and tariffs that we were talking about as well.
Absolutely. One point that we could talk about is that people are far more optimistic about their future in Asia, which is...
Oh, really?
Than the West, yeah. About 60% have actually said that they feel that there's more opportunity for themselves in the future.
And this really comes down to the, for lack of a better choice of words, the way the West has conducted itself over the past couple of months, years, in fact.
Well, I think it's probably more about the fact that Asia is built on small businesses.
The emerging economies as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
okay.
Quite frankly, even within the large economic centers, we're finding that there's more Asians being employed than bringing in people from outside of the world. So I think they see that there's opportunity
right.
in their future, which is great. I think that's very important.
But population, I know this is all in percentages, so you've obviously taken all of that into account, but just given the sheer growth that you can expect in Asia, do you see Asian investors investing much more in Asia rather than globally?
Actually, I feel like we see the opposite. They want to diversify. And the key to riding out an economic cycle and taking advantage of an economic cycle is to diversify.
Okay.
There's a couple ways that you can diversify. And we spoke about, well, we're speaking about the financial side, but there's also human capital. That is where we're seeing this trend of globalization. So families sending their kids to school. Sometimes they're staying where they went to school in the U.S. or Canada or Australia or the U.K. That's diversification of the family. And we believe that that's actually a trend that will help the family succeed in the long term.
We're speaking with Michael Reed, head of Wealth Management Southeast Asia and chief executive of RBC Singapore. Michael, let's talk about the current economic slowdown and all this talk of recession. So if I were a young, and I specify young, high net worth individual, with the mindset that I have that we've discussed, how can I prepare myself for this?
Well, we know that cycles, they're called cycles by virtue of the fact that they happen over and over and over. I believe that financial institutions today, including RBC, are finding creative ways to take advantage and also protect when we feel that something's happening and there is going to be, as you mentioned, a recession. So I think it's finding those trusted professionals to help you ride out the cycle, but also take advantage of it because your time horizon is long-term and there's a lot of room for growth in the future.
It's as if history has impacted upon the Asian DNA for investment. When does it shift from wealth creation to being the maintenance of the wealth? Are we already there?
I think we're approaching that time now. In my experience and in meeting with clients, I'm seeing that the transition is starting to happen where parents are saying, I know I have to start planning my wealth. And that's actually a really key part. Wealth transfer is a huge element in Asia because predominantly it was the parents who were business owners. At some point, that business either needs to be sold or passed on to the kids. In a lot of cases, the kids don't want to take over the business. So how do you make that transition without causing something that we have a term called affluenza, where the kids will actually start not fulfilling the values that their parents want because they have so much access to funds.
Affluenza, I'll remember that one. Interesting.
Can the definition of wealth change in the future? And by that, you know, I'm thinking things like all this talk of cryptocurrency, perhaps views on wealth. Is it possible that that definition can change?
I'm sure the definition can change. One of the things that we did find in the survey is that people, particularly millennials, are seeing that it's more about experiences. That's what they treasure, and that's what they consider wealth versus material possessions.
How, in a more primitive terms, you see people prefer to invest in like high-end fashion products, but you have a group that goes, no, I'll spend all my money on traveling. Interesting.
Yeah. But you still need to
You still need
get
to
the
eat,
money
right?
from yeah, somewhere.
You still need to eat. Well, Michael Reed, the head of Wealth Management Southeast Asia and chief executive of RBC Singapore, in the studio with us. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.